You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Extremely tasteful.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM.
Morena Lucinda, how are you today?
Morena, I'm not great because I'm calling in from home this morning, but I'm good enough to chat about food.
It's still sickness season, really. It truly is. I hope you're feeling better soon. But what kai have you been eating?
Ah, good question. Always a good question. I was just thinking about this, and I was like, God, I feel like I haven't eaten anything super exciting this week. But I did return to an old favourite after a movie in the city last week, and I went to the Fed and had a steak. It was so good.
I haven't been to the Fed for ages, but every time someone tells me they've gone, I'm like, oh, yes, I must.
You forget it's there, eh?
And it's so consistently yum. So you had a steak. That's a very classic dinner. What was the vibes? Are you a medium rare? Are you well done? What's your steak situation?
I am generally a medium rare, and to be honest, I've kind of reached the point where I do cook steak at home occasionally, but I just think I can never do it at home as well as they can do it at a restaurant.
Yeah.
I always just, you know, it's got a nice little crust on it. It's like perfectly medium rare.
Simple in theory, but it's difficult to execute.
Totally. Exactly. I always feel like my dad's rule of thumb for what you should order on a menu is, could you make it at home and it be as good or better? And I feel like a steak, I can quite honestly say no. I'm bad at cooking that, so happy to eat that one out.
I feel like that about steak and about fish. I mean, I can cook fish at home, but I can't cook it as beautifully as a chef can.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. They're both definitely ones that I'd pick. I'd be interested to know what anybody on 5395's sort of will eat it at a restaurant, won't necessarily cook it at home situation is, because we also have a bit of an unspoken rule in our flat that we're mostly vegetarian at home, but if we go out, there's no judgment if you eat other foods. But you know, that's a very loose rule. I'm probably going to get a text from my flatmate shortly being like, excuse me, we had a carbonara with bacon in it the other night. But you know, broadly speaking, that's the general rule about it. What was else in your meal at the Fed the other night, Lucy?
It was so good. So you can't go to the Fed without getting a poutine. So we had the poutine.
Yum.
And that was, you know, as amazing as chips and gravy and cheese curds are always.
Absolutely. Whoever invented that originally, truly a genius.
I mean, I knew about chips and gravy, but it wasn't until the Fed that I knew about poutine, and it has been pretty life-changing.
Oh, yeah. Yum.
But I like the steak came with just like a little salad, and it came with this big wadge or big dollop of dill butter on top, and I am a real sucker for anything with dill.
Yum. I'm also a sucker for anything with a strong amount of butter in it. Yeah. Have you seen that guy?
Yes.
That guy on TikTok who just makes fancy butters?
Who?
Has anyone else seen this? It's just the specific little TikTok that I'm on.
That is your algorithm.
There's just this guy, he makes extremely like fancy bougie butter. And I don't know how he's not, you know, completely blocked all of his arteries up.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a dangerous game to be playing long term.
He posts like 3 videos of fancy butter a week. I think he is a professional chef.
Or is he just giving that to someone else?
It'll be crazy. Like, it'll be things that sort of range from like a, you know, very nice classic dill butter through to like you know, a peanut butter jelly butter. It's very American, but it's very yummy.
Is he churning the butter himself or just adding things?
No, I think he just adds things to it, but you know, and then does the quilling thing, you know, and you do that with the spoon, which I cannot do for the life of me. I have tried, but he does that and it always looks perfect. Puts on a big crunchy piece of bread. Oh, so yummy.
Mm-hmm. That's gorgeous. God, I'd like that now. I haven't had breakfast yet.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
That's sounding incredibly good.
We've had risotto come through as something that people will get out and not cook at home. And, you know, harking back to our risotto chat of the other week, it's quite hard to get it, you know, perfectly right sometimes. / can you be bothered standing there stirring is the real question.
I reckon that writer, go back to the risotto app. We've got some good tips from both us and from the listeners.
Exactly. But also, you know, treat yourself out and about. There is, you know, very yum risotto to be had. So you had a nice dollop of dill butter on the top. That sounds like a very tasty thing. Did you have a dessert is what I would like to know.
Look, this is a very rare occurrence, but I did not have a dessert.
Whoa!
You're right.
I know, but partially they, you know, because the offerings at the Fed are essentially multiple different pies, and I believe they were out of the pecan pie, which is my favourite.
Yum.
Oh, yeah. That's a fancy nut.
That is a fancy nut.
Harking back to another conversation with breakfast food.
Call back. Liam's just texted and saying that they also love the fancy butter man and would make all of them if they had an ounce of motivation to be a good chef. That's how I feel, Liam. I just scroll through those videos being like, wow, I could probably make that if I tried hard enough, but I don't. I'm glad I'm not the only person who's seen fancy butter man on the internet.
It does make me think. I feel like there's a bit of a trend at the moment. I've noticed it in a lot of... So I'm a pretty avid cookbook reader, and I've noticed it a lot in a lot of new cookbooks where chefs and cooks talk about flavour bombs and about kind of creating these, like, sometimes you can make it in bulk and freeze some to, like, add it to various dishes, but pre-making these little bombs of delicious fats and flavours to enhance any meal.
I feel like that's a flavoured butter. I also feel like every few years there's a new sort of gentrification of some normal food as well, where it's like, oh, here's a basic thing, we're going to make it super fancy and chuck an extra zero on how much it costs on a menu.
And call it something silly and goofy.
I'll always buy it.
100%. Well, I think that the butter thing falls in there. I'm not sure that I've seen it on many menus at the moment, but, like, you know, bougie butter feels like a very... posh thing, or it's like the Orphan's Kitchen Marmite, which is delicious, but it's also like fancy Marmite, it's which is yeast. Something you just there get is. From the supermarket, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there is cultured butter, I reckon. Ooh. Is the one.
What is cultured butter? Has it got living things in it?
It's basically, my understanding is that it's basically butter that's being treated the way you would like a yogurt, so it's spent a bit of time sort of fermenting or had some live cultures added.
It's very flavoursome. It's definitely one of those things I've eaten and not thought too much about how it was made, which is probably not very sustainable of me, but it is yummy.
You're just like, this is the delicious butter, I don't care where it came from.
That reminds me of drinking kombucha and you get a bit of SCOBY and you're like, oh my god.
No, I can't do. I'm afraid that I can't do kombucha. I'd like to be someone who can, but
I really like it. But then you get a little chunk.
A boba.
I used to be a really avid kombucha brewer, and I was.
Oh man.
I was churning out a couple of bottles a week.
It's a phase.
It is a phase, but the thing that really got me in the end was that I just felt like I could smell kombucha in my kitchen at all points.
No, thanks. Absolutely not.
Get out.
Not for me.
I don't want to smell it all the time.
No.
We had a situation in an old flat fridge where we weren't sure if something was a SCOBY or not. And so we did get rid of it, but we were like, is that...
It's a red flag.
Is that SCOBY that we forgot about, or is that just a miscellaneous jar of some liquid that's gone a funky green colour with a, you know, skin on the top?
Taste and find out.
Exactly. This is essentially what SCOBY
is. I am curious. I do feel like there was a period of time where if I talked about my SCOBYs, people had no idea what I meant. And I now feel like it's really entered the lexicon and everyone knows.
Would you be able to explain what a SCOBY is, just in case? Because I still don't entirely get the gist. As
like
I was saying,
pit.
I was not the person making the kombucha in our house. I wasn't even the person drinking it.
I can't remember. So SCOBY is an acronym that basically describes the kind of organism that is a SCOBY, but it's basically like a is it a fungus, or I think it's a bacteria.
It's a symbiotic, like a culture of bacteria and yeast. They're all hanging out in there and they're making stuff.
Yeah. And they basically lives on, it eats sugar and tannins. So you feed it, you make a tea out of tea. A really strong tea with sugar. And then you place this SCOBY, and they usually end up being this kind of disc shape because they're, you know, always sitting in a jar or a bottle.
Yeah.
You place it within, and it kind of eats all the tannins and all the sugars and digests them, and in the process creates this delicious fermented drink.
It is good, but SCOBY does look like a forbidden pancake.
Oh, it's disgusting. Yeah.
The one time I've really enjoyed kombucha was when Peach Pit had their kombucha cocktails that they were doing on K Road for a while. Those were really nice. They had just the right amount of vinegariness in it.
100%. That was the main thing that kept me brewing for so long, was you could make what tasted like the fanciest cocktail by just having kombucha that you'd flavored with like some frozen blueberries and a sprig of rosemary from the side of the road and a bit of gin.
I love that.
It was great.
So you've been eating at the Fed. We've really tangented today on you, Lucy. But what did it sort of leave you with thinking about or feeling after you'd left with your lovely steak and your fancy butter?
I thought it was quite empty when I went, and I felt a bit surprised because I, you know, for the longest time it would always take a while to get a table at the Fed, so. I reckon, get in there, guys. It's a good spot. But also, wouldn't it be great if we had more diners?
Yeah.
More of that casual style with big menu, booth seating.
Yum, comforting food.
Yeah.
Party vibes.
Especially like a 24 hours that's maybe a step above Denny's. No shade to Denny's.
There's a time and a place for Denny's, and the time and the place is 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And Saturday night / Sunday morning.
Specific
so.
Scene.
Hey, thank you very much, Lucy, for bringing us some diner kai this morning. I would like to hear if anyone knows of anywhere that is of similar vibes to the Fed or something that kind of has, I guess, similar kai on the menu. We've had text about the pies at Coffee Pen. I would also definitely get behind the pumpkin cheesecake that they do there, being so yummy, so good.
Yeah.
So very much in that world of food, where are you going to get your comforting, cheesy and hearty meals? Text
and
us.
Steaks.
And steaks. And steaks. Does Tony's Steakhouse still exist?
It does.
Oh, my God.
Walked past it after the bed and thought I could go back there.
Just this could become the new you, Lucy, just eating steaks all the time.
Oh, God. I don't think my wallet or my arteries could handle it.
Probably not. Hey, have a great rest of your day. Thanks for chatting with us. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Food for thought.
Breakfast food on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B-card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.